Now, as I mentioned earlier, in the prayer, if we weren't in this weird time that we were in, we would likely be at the Presbyterian Church right now on the lawn over there. And we would be having our, we'd be about 10 minutes into our Strawberry Fest service. And Strawberry Fest, usually the theme usually runs around something to do with agriculture, because the offering is usually for the Canadian Food Grains Bank, and so we generally have something to do with agriculture. And I was the one who was supposed to be up for this year's message, so I get to share this message with you all today. Lucky you. And so we're going to read from Mark chapter 4. Now, Mark 4 has, Evan, can you just turn down the monitor here a bit, please? Mark 4 has four parables within it. And two of them, what we'll read from, are on growing seed, on the growing seed, and on the mustard seed. And so you can see right away that this has something to do with growth, with agriculture, with that type of genre. And we're going to dig into that a little bit. Now, a parable is an easier story for Jesus to say to illustrate a greater point, usually about the kingdom of God. And today is no different. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and what it is like. And he's using the parables of the growing seed, of the seed growth, and the parable of the mustard seed, which we'll be looking at today. And so from verse 26, we will start reading from Mark 4, verse 26, where it says, Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel within the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. And again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? Well, it is like the mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds of earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch within its shade. With many other similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. They say that to be a farmer, you have to have a lot of faith. That you have to, and it makes sense to me, that you have to have a lot of faith if you want to be a farmer. Who would take up a lot of their capital, a lot, and put a lot of investment into this thing called seed? Thousands upon thousands of dollars you'd put into seed and put it in the ground and hope that the conditions will be right for it to come up and produce a crop for you. Now, I give my hats off to farmers, and they diversify a lot, but there's a lot of faith that's got to happen there. Because not everybody, not every profession would do this thing. They just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't take this large investment and put it into something that you didn't know if it was going to happen or not. And yet, year after year, God is good and he provides the crop. Year after year, it happens. Crops grow. Now, It might be a good year for grain and not a good year, or a good year for wheat and not a good year for corn. It might be a good year for beans, but not for wheat. However that works, I don't know. I'm not a farmer. But I look at it from this point of view. It takes a lot of faith to make this thing happen, because you're putting everything in God's hands, essentially, which is true. Today, the passage talks about a farmer who scatters, or a man who scatters seed. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like this guy who scatters seed on the ground. Now, this guy is not planting it meticulously. Notice that he's not putting one seed in the ground here and one here and one here. He's scattering it. He's throwing seed. And by the looks of the parable, it's wheat seed. He's throwing wheat on the ground. And then what does he do? He walks away. It's sown. It's already on the ground. And he goes, and whether the farmer, the man, sleeps or gets up, says Jesus, it doesn't matter, because all by itself, the soil produces a crop, all on its own. The soil does this thing. And notice that it's in stages as well. This plant starts from a seed, grows into a plant, grows into the stalk, and then the head, and then the full head. And if we skip ahead to the mustard seed, we can easily see that depending on the plant itself, that the mustard plant, that it would grow into a large thing called the mustard plant. Now, I've read some descriptions on how big a mustard plant can get, and a mustard plant can be taller than a horse and rider. So that's pretty tall. I don't know, 10 feet, maybe 11, something like that, depending on the size of the horse, I guess. And so we have this thing, and here's the point. The farmer does not know how this happens. The man does not know how this works. Now, today we have a lot of scientists, and we have a lot of people that can explain a lot of things. And it's a favorite grade school class type of thing to get a styrofoam cup, put some soil in it, plant a seed in it, and watch the seed come out of the soil. That's a science project. And I don't think it matters. We can do a lot of things with science, but we really can't tell how a seed grows. We just know that it does. We can manipulate the seed. We can do hybrids with the seed. We can do a lot of things, but we don't know how it grows. So what is seed anyway? What is seed? You know, I love it when in early spring, you can go to the grocery store, go to the hardware store, and you see these packets of seed. Karen's sort of good with that. I'm not going to pick on Karen today. My mom used to get a catalog from William Dam Seeds. I don't know if anybody knows William Dam Seeds. And it was a catalog, and back then you couldn't just order it online. No, you had to pay by check, and you had to fill out the order form, and then she would wait for this time when this box of seed would come in, and she would have in it pole beans and other beans and more a lot of beans. And I remember picking a lot of beans when I was a kid, which was good, because that was pretty much every night's meal had beans in it. Beans, meat, and potatoes. You know, we see the seed and we open up our little pouch and we pour the seed into your hand like that, and we see the seed and we go, wow, what is it about this stuff, this seed, that is so great? Well, seed has power in it. These little things that are sitting in your hand after you pour the pouch into your hand, these things have power in it. Seed has life. Seed is not like this music stand here. It's not like a table or a coffee cup. No, seed has life in it. And that life, meeting the right conditions, gets unlocked in the soil. And it grows into something that's totally unrecognizable from the seed itself. It grows into this large plant. And so, as Jesus was talking about the mustard seed, he's saying, these are the smallest seeds on earth. Well, I don't know about that. I've seen some pretty small seed, and I've seen mustard seed, but they are small seeds. Mustard seed is about the size and about the, is black, and it's about the same size as poppy seed, maybe a little bit smaller than that. If you were to take some coarse black pepper and shake it into your hand, you'd have a good idea of what poppy seed or what mustard seed looks like. And so you have this seed, and it can grow into this large, from the very small thing into a large plant, so large that birds can find shelter from the hot Middle Eastern sun within its shade. Amazing. God has given life in seed. Seed contains life. And so, who then is doing what in this parable of the seed with the growth, the growing seed? Who's doing what? Who's the man in this parable? Well, the man in this parable would be you and I. We are the ones who sow the seed in this parable. We are the ones who scatter it, who toss it all over the place. We are the ones who are throwing out, shedding, scattering tidbits of life when we spread the seed, the word of God. We are the ones who give the word out to other people. And then what do? But walk away. We don't worry about it. We let the seed grow all on its own, given the right conditions, of course. We let the seed grow within those whom we love. We let the seed grow with those whom we don't know, because we never know where our seed that we sow is, what effect our seed that we sow is going to have. Let me share a story with you. Some of you may or may not know the name Ravi Zacharias. I assume that most of you don't know that name. Ravi Zacharias. Ravi is East Indian. Ravi just passed away in May from a heart condition, I think it was. Or maybe, perhaps it was cancer. I forget. Ravi was East Indian. Ravi was a Christian apologist. Now, you may say, what's a Christian apologist? Well, that's someone who defends the Christian faith. When Ravi was a young man, he was brought up in the household in India, but he was brought up in the Anglican Church. So he knew about Christ. But he rebelled, as many teenagers rebel. Ravi rebelled as well. And Ravi actually came to that point in his life where he wanted to end his life. And so he drank some poison. Well, they caught him in time and they sent him to the hospital. And as he was in the hospital, one of the hospital workers came up to him with a Bible and handed it to him and said, "Read John 14. And in verse 19 of John 14, Ravi read these words, Because I live, you also will live. It's Jesus talking. Because I live, you also will live. And those words hit Ravi like none other. Those words caused Rabbi Zacharias to go on a lesson of learning about what Christ is all about and who Christ is. He got his education and he started to become an apologist, to stand up for the Word of God throughout all of the lies that we are experiencing in our world today. Rabbi's ministries, his ministries top 250 people worldwide. He is on every continent on earth. He's in many nations on earth. He has 250 people working for him at the time of his death. 100 of those were pastors working to become apologists as well. He grew from this young man, and he grew into, I would say, into a mustard plant size guy who inspired a lot of people to stand up for the Word of God, to stand up for the Lord, to stand up for the truth, including myself. He's got some pretty good stuff. Again, Ravi sort of passed away in May. But this goes to explain exactly what the seed can do. Now, this should cause many of us a lot of comfort, shouldn't it? This should cause us to be very happy that the seed that we spread about God, actually, we don't really need to worry about it. Let God do His part. Our role in this is to spread the word. Our role is to go out and make disciples of all nations, as Jesus said in Matthew 28. Our role is to spread it, to scatter the seed. The role of God is the ground. God, all by himself, all by itself, the seed grows in the ground. All by itself. It happens. And we don't know what that transformational state, the transformational stages that happen really look like anyway. And so the words that you send out and the example that you are to other people as Christian people, as followers of Christ, the word that you are is the You should be able to leave it at that. The problem is that sometimes we hover. We hover over top of the seed. I got a patch of grass just outside of my place that's just off of the back patio there. It's very shady there, lots of shade, which is really nice. And we've been trying to grow grass there for a long time, ever since we've been there, pretty much. And it's coming along. Year after year, it's getting to that point where it's coming along. And so I figured that a couple years back, I figured I'm going to go out and get this really good grass seed. You know this coated grass seed, this stuff with the white coating around it that's supposed to be a super thing or make it grow anywhere. It's supposed to grow on top of a brick or something like that. I don't know. And anyway, so I went out and got this grass seed. And I'm going, yeah, plant it down a little bit, rake it under the soil a little bit, water it really good. And then I hovered over top of it. Grow, seed. Grow. Grow. Come on. It's like watching paint dry, right? You can't sit there long enough and watch this seed grow. Well, the same thing happens when we hover over top of people that we spread the good news to. God's working in His time on those people. God's working in His time on that grass seed. He's still working on that because that was a couple years ago. That's over now. But God's working in His time on the people that you're giving the word of God to. And for that, we get comfort. We should have comfort. Because we don't need to hover. Let God do his thing. He's got a role in his kingdom. You have a role in your king, in his kingdom as well. You do your stuff. God will do his. So let God take on the role. Let God be the one who inspires growth. Let God allow you to watch the seed grow. It takes patience, but you can do it with God's help too. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us the role of spreading your word in the kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with that, that you will continue to watch over us as we scatter the seed of good news to the people, Lord. Watch over us as we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing a song of response. We'll sing, Seek Ye First.